Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. If you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, my name is your name too. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting right now from the Free Zones inside deeply held patriot territory. Although notwithstanding the efforts of the Marxists to try to get a foothold here, and they do, but, well, fortunately, we're stomping Marxists and the Marxist agenda every chance we get, and it feels good. This is episode 2002, the second podcast of 2020, and we're off to a very interesting start. Hope you guys had a really blessed week. We got a lot of stuff to cover. I know that right now what's on a lot of people's minds is this coronavirus that is spreading, coming from China. I want to put that into perspective. It's not something to be taken lightly, but it is also not end of times pestilence and famine and disease that's going to wipe out a third of the earth and all that. That's coming if we believe in the Bible, right? But I saw the same thing with the Ebola virus and the bird flu, swine flu. And now we're experiencing this. Now, this is a very serious pandemic now. But I'm going to talk about that in segment two, starting right off in segment two with talking about some of the things that you can do to prepare for a pandemic or epidemic. In this case, it is a pandemic. So, yeah, we'll get to that. So I'm not going to talk about it in the news because I'm dedicating a couple of segments to it. So let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by our friend and author Glenn Tate and his wife, Shelby Gallagher. He's the author of the 10-book prepper novel series, 299 Days, 299 Days. She's the author of the 3-book series, A Great State. And both of those are in audiobook. And also, don't forget to check out their Prepping 2.0. No doubt they will be talking about this virus at Prepping 2.0. So go check them out at, that's prepping2-0.com. All right, in the news. First of all, international news. The U.S. Embassy, again, was struck by at least one rocket today. Earlier today, in the latest attack on American targets in Iraq. Now, I don't mean to say the embassy was attacked again. I don't recall the embassy being struck before, but they have fired rockets into the green zone and firing on military bases. So this is firing on the United States assets again, this time the U.S. embassy. So fortunately, thank God, no one was reportedly hurt or injured. This did hit a DFAC or a dining facility, or they call a canteen. It was damaged and burned. And they're saying this is a very serious game by this PMF, which are essentially Iranian-backed insurgents. And these rockets, I wonder where they came from. Yeah, just a guess. You know, Iran is playing a very dangerous game. I mean, when you're firing on our troops and our embassy, that's firing on U.S. soil. That's I don't know. We'll see how things turn out. But we are at AMCON 4 because of the counterattacks, the cyber attacks, where the Iranians and players that they support do have capabilities that could harm us as far as electronically, digitally, cyber attacks, internet-based and other electronic attacks. So we're remaining at AMCON 4. We are not going to raise the AMCON at this point because of the coronavirus. We are watching and observing, but right now we do not plan to raise the AMCON level based on the current developments and the current situation with that virus. It's the computer virus, why we are at potential computer viruses, cyber attacks that Iran has vowed to carry out. That is why we are one notch up from the lowest level on the AMCON scale. So no imminent threats, no known specific threats. We just wanted to raise awareness and have folks be checking their gear, getting on the nets, making sure everything's working properly, and having discussions with your friends, family, your group, your mutual aid group, your militia, your church emergency food bank and shelter, whatever it might be. Just start talking. What if the lights go out? So that's what this is all about. Now, from Town Hall, this was sent to me earlier today, and it just really makes me shake my head and just reinforces the necessity for strategically relocating for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots as we see the degradation of our country, just like the Roman Empire, you know, right before it finally collapsed. It was riddled with perversion, sexual perversion, corruption, and economic policies, just all kinds of other similar indicators that what we're seeing in the United States. But here's the headline. Here's what Joe Biden claims is the civil rights issue of our time. So he puts out this tweet yesterday, openly supporting the transgender agenda. And he declares, transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time. Now, that's got to just be so offensive to the black people in America, because so much progress was made toward in the civil rights movement to treating people of color fairly and equally, that this has been hijacked by this perversion movement. And now we have, let me read out. So that's just a gem in and of itself. But further in the article, but Biden is not the only candidate publishing eyebrow raising comments this week. Senator, she is a senator. Can you believe this? So here's a former vice president and a senator, Elizabeth Warren, Democrat, Massachusetts, has pledged that as president, a minimum of half of her cabinet will consist of women and non-binary people. Just look at the vocabulary that's in our news today. Stuff that didn't even exist. They have to make things up, call it non-binary, to make it sound scientific, right? She promises to build a cabinet and senior leadership team that reflects the full diversity of America, including having at least 50% of cabinet positions filled by women and non-binary people, which means trannies, transgenders, transvestites, whatever. She also commits to ensure representation of LGBTQ plus people across all levels of government, including leadership roles. You know, as oppressive regimes gain power and control, isn't it interesting to look historically how the highest ranks of the oppressive regimes were full of pedophiles and perverts? And now there's this woman who thinks that she is deserving of being president. No, it's not just that. It's worse. There's the two top contenders so far. The top three contenders, I would say. One is Buttigieg, whatever he is. Open homosexual, wants his so-called husband to be the first man of the United States. And his two closest competitors are vying for their point of their contention is to compete to show who is the most aggressively supportive person of perverts, to the point that they're going to fill their cabinet with them because they want the full representation of the diversity of America. Well, if you're going to do that, you've got to have a black, a white, a transgender. You've got to have a homosexual. You've got to have a couple. You've got to have at least one neo-Nazi. You've got to have. I mean, where are you drawing the line as far as how do you determine what is, because there are neo-Nazis in America, and there are transgender people in America, and there are Hispanic people in America. There's something of everyone in America. How are you going to, you're going to fill your cabinet with one of everything for the sake of diversity? These people have just lost their minds. I can't even stand. I don't really follow it, but somebody sends me a link and I look it up and I just shake my head. It's unreal. These people are insane. You have the lunatics running the asylum now, or trying to convince us that we should choose them to run the asylum. Now, I don't talk about sports that much, but there's a really cool story that I came across, and I wanted to share it with you. But I'd be a jerk if I talked about sports and not mention, at least mention, Kobe Bryant. A basketball icon was killed this morning, along with his 13-year-old daughter, plowed into a mountainside, apparently, in foggy conditions, killing 9 people on his Sikorsky on the way to basketball practice. That's how he commuted. And of course, if I had his money, that's how I'd commute if I were living in the LA area too. Why deal with the traffic? All he has to deal with is air traffic. Sadly, he died. Now, a lot of people, I don't follow sports anymore at all. I have no time for it. I grew up on the NFL and football, pro football, and it was a family tradition. And I'm to the point now, I don't even miss it. It is such a distraction. It is so worthless, actually. And I think it is the ideal opiate for Americans, sports, where you have more people flying Seattle Seahawks flags in front of their homes than you do American flags. And that's what they are, Seattle Patriots. And wherever you happen to live, your nearest pro team in your area, everybody's wearing the jerseys, the flying the flags. The mania surrounding it. But Kobe Bryant was an amazing icon. He was very, very talented. I cannot stand basketball, never have been able to, but I respect the level of dedication, commitment, skills, and strategy to be able to work, to be able to excel in that type of a very competitive environment. On a pro level, I do have a huge amount of respect for the man and several people that are at that level, which there's very few at that level. He's an icon. And so it was sad to see him die. And I know there's a lot of people that are really upset over that. Anyway, I wanted to just mention that. I think highly of him and many of these other guys, even though I don't follow the sport. But here's something that, now this is, to me, worth noting, and this is worth celebrating, and this is the kind of stuff that actually makes me almost consider restoring my faith in professional sports again. Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins issues a Bible challenge to millions of NFL fans. This is cool. Somebody at that level that's not afraid of their faith. They don't hide their faith. They're proud to call themselves a Christian, and it's a blessing to them to share their own testimonies with others. Star quarterback Kirk Cousins has announced that he has concluded reading through the entire Bible over the course of 2 years. And hats off to him, because I've been working on reading through the Bible, and I'm going on over 3 years. And I'm over three quarters of the way through there. I'm working on it. So this is just really cool. And this is a guy, he has a large audience, and challenging people to join him and read their Bibles all the way through. Tweeting about the incredible achievement, Cousins urged other followers of Jesus to set themselves the same challenge. And this is over on CBN News, Christian Broadcasting Network. Really cool. And this is what he wrote. It took me over 2 years, but just finished reading through the entire Bible for the first time. Definitely recommend. And, of course, lots of folks are, you know, tweeting back really supportive stuff, responses saying, you know, I did it too, and I loved it. I'm third time going through the Bible. I recommend it too. And so it's just really neat. I thought I'd share that. Now, I don't want to cover this, never have been into this, but I'm getting dragged into it because actually I have listeners that are saying, have you seen this? Look at this link, King 5 News, right, out of Seattle. It's all over the Pacific Northwest. Bigfoot spotted. Bigfoot is real. Spotted on a DOT camera at one of the Sherman Pass. And so one of the Department of Transportation employees tweeted this image of Sasquatch, Bigfoot, that was captured on a DOT, Department of Transportation camera. You know, they got these live webcams, but it's not actually a cam. It's a camera, like still photos, not video. So I just thought, well, that's great. You're coming from King 5 News. Why not? I mean, here's their headlines, you know, coming up right after the break. Your trusted news source, King 5 News. When we come back, Matt Shea is a terrorist and Bigfoot is real. So it, I guess, kind of goes in line with their stories. Representative Matt Shea, Christian conservative, is a terrorist and Bigfoot is real. I thought, why not? So some people are asking, what do you think of this? Have you seen this? Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it. So here's the thing. It's another fraud. This guy who works for the Washington State DOT, his name's Ryan Overton, said he was responsible for the one tweeting the images and that it's not the first time something strange has appeared on the department's camera. So they've got this blow-up inflatable alien that moved around in front of the camera. I'm reading one of these. This is from the Daily Dot. They contacted him and said, what's up with this? And he's like, look, people have put stuff in front of our cameras. We've got a Christmas tree that lights up. We've got an inflatable alien and different things over the years. And now we've got a Bigfoot. But he even says he posted it on Twitter as a joke. His quote, it was meant to be a joke, but he does believe a stationary object was placed near the tree in the webcam footage. So it's not photoshopped, and it does look like a person in a gorilla suit walking in front of a tree, but there's still photos. And there's multiple photos because they're updated like every 5 minutes. And so this Bigfoot doesn't move. It's like a silhouette of a Bigfoot in front of this tree. Somebody went up there and planted it and then ran off. And so you can see the snow as it's snowing. The road down in the picture is increasingly covered by snow. There's more snow on the ground, more snow on the trees, accumulating over time while this Sasquatch is in this stationary position over this expanded period of time. And no, of course, no snow on him because it's a silhouette. Somebody went out there and placed it out there. So people ask me, you live in the Northwest. Do you believe in Sasquatch? Do you believe in Bigfoot? No, I don't. And I love how they cover ancient civilizations have had stories about giants and, ape-like animals and giant hairy creatures. It must be true. I mean, the Indians have folk stories about it. Yeah, they do. They also talk about the flood. There's almost every generation, I mean, every culture, there's usually passed down orally mythical stories about all kinds of things, including giants and big hairy creatures and a flood. There's always a massive catastrophic flood that's passed down. This story's passed down. And so, yes, I believe in the Bible. I believe that there were really Nephilim, and I believe they really existed, and giants really existed. Whether they still exist, I don't know. But I don't think there's a Bigfoot, no. And I've heard stories about in Afghanistan, a special forces team went in and encountered a giant 12 to 18 foot tall, took it down. He had a sword in his hand made out of this stone that is historically was used as weapons. You know, they say 26,000 years ago, but really probably before the flood, and definitely, I mean, things like 9 feet long, the sword itself is. And so, did they come across a Nephilim? I don't know. I don't know if the story's a hoax or not, but they definitely did exist. There's no question about it. So, and it's, that's a fascinating rabbit tail to go down. But, Snopes says the Afghanistan story is false because they contacted the Department of Defense and their response was that they have no report on record of a special forces unit having an encounter with and killing a giant. So thanks Snopes for running that to ground. It's never happened, says Snopes. We'll see. All right, enough of that. Get off of that. Now, I got a email from the CEO of Orca Information, and this is they do employment and tenant background screening, and leasing background checks and stuff. Well, apparently there is a bill that's trying to be pushed. They're attempting to push through in Washington State. She's like, can you? Everybody, please help get the word out. I'm like, you know, I'll give it a mention. Senate Bill 6490. And what this will do statewide, it will remove your ability as a tenant to do a criminal background check on a potential tenant. And this is being sponsored by Darnielle of Tacoma. District 27 believes it is just. To pass a similar bill as the one that the city of Seattle for the whole state of Washington, based on that belief of racial disparity, because doing a background check to find out somebody's criminal history is racist. Now, I guess the senator Darnielle believes possibly putting our low income population, children and single mothers, disabled and elderly at similar risk as those in the city of Seattle is a good thing. So basically, if somebody has some type of extensive criminal history, they don't want you to know about that. That should not be influencing your decision on whether or not to rent to somebody. So anyway, that's the Senate Bill 6490. Contact your representative and say no on this. Absolutely not. We should be able to do background checks, criminal checks, to find out who's going to be renting my property. And the people that live around those people with extensive violent criminal histories, they should be protected. You should have the right to determine whether or not somebody rents your property for any reason, in my opinion. And speaking of the legislature in Washington, if you go to redoubtnews.com, Washington Legislative Session 2020 is the week 2 update provided by Representative Matt Shea, discussing another environmental extremist project that they're working on here, the moss piglet, something else, a very small animal about the size of a cockroach, I guess, needs to be protected. The moss piglet, gun control, road maintenance, and other issues in this week's update from the Washington State's 2020 session of insanity, Representative Shea is reporting on. Check that out. I don't have anything from Stark Raving Mad this week. I want to get right into the coronavirus topic and get that covered. Don't forget to stick around. Liberty State Radio episode 20 is going to be airing right after this podcast tonight. And I want to get this show uploaded, so I will not be airing a old-time radio I was a communist for the FBI segment of old-time radio after the show like I normally do. I'm going to just go ahead and stop the stream right after the Liberty State Radio episode 20 because I need the bandwidth to hurry up and get this uploaded because they're waiting for me to get tonight's show uploaded because they want to pass some of the information along on their amateur radio nets, which are scheduled for later on this evening. So one thing I do want to bring to your attention before we take a break. Today is January 26th, which is the 4-year anniversary now of the death of Lavoie Finicum, a patriot. You can learn more by going to itmattershowyoustand.com, which is dedicated to a lot of the principles, ideals, and teachings of Lavoie Finicum, a brilliant man, and just a down-to-earth patriot. He was killed by the Oregon State Police on their way to go meet with the sheriff and have a public meeting teaching the people about the Constitution. He was pulled over at a traffic stop where they did not have a warrant. He got out with this hands up, put his hands down to the side. They killed him. And then they went and got a warrant. So I don't even know what the probable cause was for stopping. I've never seen that established. Just really something. But anyway, what I'm going to do here, and when we take a break, I want to point you to first itmattershowyoustand.com. You can also go to their Facebook page, facebook.com/itmattershowyoustand. And there's a lot of information there about Lavoie Finicum. But because this is the 4-year anniversary of the day he was killed, we're going to go ahead and air the Cowboys' Last Stand for Freedom, a song that was written and sung by Geneva Black, a young patriot who's written a few songs, actually, that are related to Christian patriot living, but did a beautiful job with this. So I'll let you go ahead and listen to this, and we'll be right back with segment two, talking about the coronavirus here at Radio Free Redoubt, episode 2002. Stay right there.
It's a place I own. It's a place my own. Free. Where can I go free? If my home's not mine, how can free it be? This used to be my home until I realized if I do not take a stand, surely they will take this land. My home is my
take up the cause.
this is my cry from prison cell. This is not over, cause our brother fell. If with me you'll take your stand, take the chains from my hands, our home is not gone.
We are back with segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by our friends at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com is the website, and they are helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots just like yourselves get relocated, specifically for those of you that are looking to go to the northern part of the panhandle in Idaho. Boundary County is the where they're located out of. And folks are actually looking there. The Kootenai County, the number one destination for relocating, is getting overcrowded and expensive. So people are moving northern into Bonner County, and then many are moving from Bonner into Boundary County. It's kind of what Idaho was 20 years ago without all the strip malls. But you have the modern conveniences and internet and everything, but you just don't have the crowds or the high, the increasing property taxes. So they're helping a lot of people. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Now, Alerts USA has been pounding out updates regularly. We've been talking about this among Ameron Corps, and there's definitely a lot of stuff going on. And this is a very rapidly expanding virus. Has gone from an epidemic to a pandemic. Of course, you know, an outbreak is, you know, just small numbers are affected. Epidemic is when it is going through large numbers, but within a herd, within an enclosed group of people. When it hops that, jumps that, and it starts now with our global travel capabilities and just this global economy that we have now, people are traveling, you know, all over the place very quickly. And so it has now become a pandemic. But I want to share some things with you as we go through here. If you're not following the Threat Journal over at Alerts USA, I recommend it. You can go to click on the affiliate link there on the website, radiofreeredoubt.com or amron.com on the right hand page, right hand side of the page. Click on the Alerts USA banner. That's an affiliate link that actually gives you a discount if you're a Radio Free Redoubt listener or an Amron member. So we're grateful for that. But as we start to talk about this, I was doing a little bit of research, and I love going to survivalblog.com. I try to, like, once a week, try to get my fix there and get all caught up on stuff. But I just follow so much, it's hard to follow them all. But I thought this was also something noteworthy for January 26th that I saw over at survivalblog.com. By the way, that song was called A Cry of a Prisoner, Cry of a Prisoner by Geneva Black. Beautifully done. She's so talented. Also lives in the American Redoubt. And that was a song written in memorial for Lavoie Finicum. So I thought it would be appropriate to play that today. But also January 26th, under the preparedness notes for Sunday over at survivalblog.com, January 26th, 1945. This is the anniversary of that date of the liberation of Auschwitz by the Soviet Army. Now, established in 1941,
Auschwitz was a complex of three large camps and 40 smaller camps used for slave labor, unethical medical experiments, and monstrous killing grounds where prisoners were gassed and cremated. As the Soviets headed for Auschwitz, the German Gestapo began a murder spree and began destroying the facility in an attempt to hide the evidence of their crimes. When the Soviets arrived, they encountered 648 corpses and more than 7,000 starving camp survivors, along with storehouses filled with hundreds of thousands of dresses, suits, shoes, and other belongings that the Germans did not have time to burn. Interesting. January 26th, 1945. All right. Great job on the coverage of the Virginia situation last week, the Virginia Citizens Defense League. That one was, as I suspected, was pretty much just a flash in the pan, but they're not done. I suspected all along what they would do would not make a big deal of it. I'm surprised they went. They kind of had to do the emergency, state of emergency thing, you know, because Democrats are big drama queens. And so they had to make, like, you know, lives are threatened and everything else. But it went off without a hitch. It was a huge success. There was also supporting Second Amendment rallies all across the country. I suspect that what they will do is they're going to pass their dream wish list of anti-gun laws and then back off. And just kind of let things just simmer for a while, to let the, you know, show that the Patriots totally overreacted. They were being completely unreasonable. Nobody's going to jail. This is just, you guys are just, you know, well, what they do is they try to project onto you what they are actually the ones, what they're doing. They're the drama queens trying to make us out to be drama queens as, you know, Patriots. And then they'll begin enforcing by picking people off one by one. When everyone's not unified, everybody's kind of gone back to their lives. So we'll see. We'll continue to watch this. And Radio Free Virginia or RadioFreeVA.com will continue covering the situation there in Virginia, as well as the Virginia Citizens Defense League. Don't forget to follow those guys, VCDL.org, especially for our Patriots that are living there in Virginia. Now, let's talk about the virus. A couple of years ago, in 2018, we ran in April 21st, ran an exercise. It was kind of a pre-T-Rex exercise, the Teotihuacan readiness exercise, nationwide grid down. That's our big one that we do every year. It's a scenario-based exercise, and that was based on a virus that went became an epidemic. So leading up to that, we did a pre-training. This was mostly training for our net control stations that had been trained up for it. And so it was a mini exercise that we called Rabid Rudolph. And it was an exercise that essentially was based on a pandemic type of an event that would spawn from a mutated form of a chronic wasting disease in deer on the East Coast that spreads rapidly into domestic livestock and poultry and infecting the food supply. And, of course, then it mutates again and becomes transferable between humans. So we did have, you know, this Ebola virus scare a couple of years ago. Now we have the coronavirus. But there's a tool that I've been watching to track this in real time. It's updated like every 2 or 3 minutes. I think it's through the Johns Hopkins University. You have to have an account, but the link that I have, I'll put it in the highlights and resources posting, is working fine for me. And I'll put it out in the Amron Team app as a notification later this evening with the link that will take you to this map, this world map, following this Wuhan coronavirus. So just before the show, I looked and there was 2,118 confirmed cases. This is worldwide. And it is sharply increasing. Now, there's in Hong Kong, there's 8. In the mainland China, there's 2,062 cases. In Thailand, there's 8 cases. Macau is 5. The U.S., now 5. Numerous others suspected. showing some of the symptoms, but they haven't been confirmed yet. Australia, 4. Japan, 4. And this is not showing. There was one in France that I knew of that they were strongly suspecting, but they probably haven't put it up on this list because it hasn't been confirmed yet. But total deaths, 56, and total have recovered, 52. And the rest are all in it right now, dealing with it. So I want to pull up a posting from an intelligence, somebody that's this is a undisclosed source within the intelligence community, tied in with the Pentagon and others in the government, multiple intelligence sources, networks. So I want to share this, read this to you real quickly. And this is what this is what my source said. Talking to some people about coronavirus now, we may need to take some precautions. It's apparently mutated again with an incubation period approaching 2 weeks. CFR is unknown because China has cracked down all reporting, but their actions in country lead us to believe that it may be getting higher. That's the death rate per infected. It's still mutating. The airborne RO value has increased from a 3.8 to a 14. Now that's huge. That means that one infected person is capable of infecting 14 others, which infect again 14 others. So this is measles numbers of 14. And with such long incubation periods between exposure and first symptoms, half the population of the planet could have it by now. People are likely contagious while asymptomatic. The experts I'm on the phone with now are saying that masks likely won't be enough, but a heaping tablespoon of baking soda dissolved in water per day and until this is over may help. Nicotine also may help block the receptors in the cells that this virus attaches to. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And what they're talking about there is the virus attaches to, there's a type of protein that's in it that attaches to proteins in your cells, apparently. Nicotine is one of the things that blocks that. That's not an endorsement for nicotine. But if you were planning on quitting smoking, go ahead with your plans. Don't put it off. Or chewing or whatever. I want to go over some resources for you folks that would like to take measures to help prepare to increasing survivability during a pandemic. Of course, stay away from crowds, stay away from people, self-quarantine. I'm not saying right now. I'm saying when you see this right now, I would just start backing away from being around large numbers of people. And as this increases, it may become necessary to quarantine yourself or, you know, take further measures to avoid interacting with people in public. Get all your shopping and stuff done now if you're planning on doing that in a week from now. If you can, I would do everything that you got to do now to minimize over the next week to 2 weeks having to go out into public around a lot of people. Now, if you go to survivalblog.com, you can look to type in the search box pandemics. There's a ton of information. Great resource. Survival Blog is just an incredible library. So much information. You want to learn from experts and personal stories of people that have been through real world events, sharing their stories, and experts that are sharing their expertise and various different fields, from medical to self-defense to food storage, battery backup system, you name it. But if you type in pandemics, there's a whole bunch of articles there that cover all various different pandemics, the history of it, how to prepare for it, how to, you know, guard your family against it, what to do when an outbreak happens, and so on. So there is a pandemic supply list, if you will, that I've put together. And I kind of brushed up, and there's a couple things that I didn't think about or know about. Steramine sterilizer, which are tablets. One tablet treats an entire gallon. It's pretty cool, but I'll get to that. All right, so here's your pandemic kit. First of all, the mask. you need to have at least an N, as in November, 95 mask, N95 mask. Now, last I checked, Amazon is sold out, and I kind of expected that. So they still have them at your hardware stores back in the paint section. That's where you're going to find your N95 masks. They run anywhere from $4 to $6, you know, depending on where you find them. Home Depot or, no, we don't go to Home Depot anymore. Lowe's or, you know, any of the others. The so N95 masks. Next, nitrile exam gloves. And we say nitrile because increasingly people have allergic reactions to latex. So nitrile exam gloves. Goggles. This apparently can also transfer through the tear ducts and, you know, through the eyes. So especially if you're dealing with people who may have it, or if you go into a quarantine situation, then you may want to have this if you're going to interact with maybe a family member or somebody that comes in who may have it, and you need to quarantine them off, and you're dealing with them, like bringing them food or a roll of toilet paper or whatever they need while you're waiting things out to make sure they don't have. I'm talking about if you're in an advanced situation, you're trying to protect your shelter or your family or whoever, and when you got new people coming in, is fine as long as you quarantine them first. We're talking about up to 2 weeks having somebody separate away from everybody else in your shelter. So you're going to obviously have to interact with them. And when you do that, you want to wear protective equipment until you know that these people are solid and they're not contagious or they're not affected. So a Tyvek suit. Now I've got these for the members of my family. They're paint suits. They're made of Tyvek, which is a brand name. It's the stuff that they make moisture barrier for houses out of. They have a lot of really great, I mean, they make them in MAPS now. They make shelter material out of them now. It's pretty amazing material, but they make suits now. So for yourself and your family, make sure everybody has a Tyvek suit. They're very affordable. Duct tape. Also, if you get into a situation where you're dealing with somebody that you suspect might have it, even if you're dealing with burying bodies, you know, you want to be able to duct tape and seal up all of the openings between your gloves, boots, and your suit. And then antiseptic wipes, so you can quickly disinfect surfaces, and you should have hand sanitizer with you anyway. A lot of this stuff is antimicrobial. It's antibacterial, and this is a virus. And some of these viruses are becoming increasingly resilient or resistant to things that would kill bacteria. But still, it's just a good idea anyway, because sanitizer does kill even a lot of viruses. A lot of viruses can't survive very long at all outside of their hosts. So, but as these things are mutating, we don't know. We don't know. You can't just go off a past history of what you think you know about viruses and apply that today, especially when these things are apparently being engineered, manufactured, and they're being engineered potentially to be weaponized so that they will be resilient to things that have historically killed viruses. So anyway, just if we find ourselves in this type of really super advanced stages, you know, where millions of people are dying and whole cultures are in lockdown, you're going to be interacting with people who could have it, and it could happen. So streamline, sterilize, or steramine, rather. Steramine is a sterilizer sanitizer tablet. One tablet treats an entire gallon, which you're trying to sterilize and sanitize equipment, you know, the inside of a vehicle, but just where the hand sanitizer thing isn't doing it and you need something more. And then I recommend, also, for building up your own immune system, colloidal silver is amazing. That kills bacteria, but especially viruses. It's antiviral. Colloidal silver is really some amazing stuff. I've personally, personal experience with successfully using colloidal silver, where the people that were using it, including myself, recovered in the fraction of the time from other people who had, you know, flu or other viral type of illnesses recover way quicker than those who don't use it. Other things you can do, there's a great article over at the Provident Prepper, theprovidentprepper.org, prepare now to survive a pandemic. And along those lines for building up your immune system, they have a list that I'll share with you, and I'll put the link in the highlights and resources posting so you can go to theprovidentprepper.org yourself. Vitamin C, zinc, and vitamin supplements that help you strengthen the immune system and get you back on your feet quickly. Herbal teas that are designed for especially for strengthening the immune system, and they make them. Some herbs help you want to consider, some you may want to consider include elderberry, lemon, balm, eucalyptus, peppermint, garlic, ginger, cayenne pepper, catnip, chamomile, turmeric, and cloves. I prefer to serve the tea at room temperature or cool. It's much easier on the stomach than water. Of course, that's if somebody's having an issue, they're infected. Raw honey. I am a firm believer in raw honey as an antibacterial, the antibacterial qualities of it, and antifungal properties. It does a fantastic job of treating sore throats and coughs. Check out our post Honey Nature Perfect. So they got an article there that's linked in this article. Hydration. Super important. The things that will replace electrolytes and help you keep those and stay hydrated, water purification and all of that. So some good articles and some good resources. Now, there's I'm going to talk about the virus itself and kind of the pandemic and what people are talking about when we come back. So the second segment, I just wanted to hurry up and get that out to you. Some measures that you can do, take, but also remember, don't panic over this. This is definitely not anything to panic over. All right. This is not Ebola, the type, this is not like from The Stand or one of these other dystopian novels that's going to kill 90% of the world's population. This isn't the plague. That kind of stuff, I believe, is coming at some point down the road in the future. But some very, very peculiar things that stuck out to me as I have been following this and researching this and sharing a lot of information with Amaron Core about this virus as it's unfolding. So anyway, come back with segment 3 right after this. And then I'm going to round out with segment 4. Responding to the listener who asked about relocating to the American Redoubt, specifically is looking at Montana, and even more specifically, Missoula area. Some things that I want to address there. Okay, this is Radio Free Redoubt, segment 2. Stay right there.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. All right, welcome back to segment 3. Segment 3 is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive on your land. If you want some expert help setting it up to get the most out of it for while securing your water rights, defensibility, food production, solar an alternative energy setup and all of that. You just don't know where to start, don't know where to begin. You know what needs to be done. Well, that's what strategiclandscapedesign.com does. Well, that's their website. Strategic Landscape Design offers services advising folks. And also, if you can't make up your mind, maybe you got a couple pieces of property and you're trying to say, which one of these is going to best meet my needs? And I'd like some expert help with that. Well, that's another thing Strategic Landscape Design does. And they also have remote consulting services. So even if you don't live in the American Redoubt, they're still able to help, and they are helping people all the time. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com is the website. Now, there's a really good article at Zero Hedge who's actually taken the time to be very thorough, kind of comprehensive, pulling in an aggregate of all of these resources that are really scientifically approaching this this coronavirus and what other scientists are saying. So I appreciate the work that Tyler Durden did over there, because I'm getting bombarded from all kinds of directions from folks with new developments and new information. And so a lot of the information in this article, and this is the title of it, Thermonuclear Pandemic Level Bad, Harvard Epidemiologist Warns Viral Outbreak Might Get Worse. That part's gone from this. But you just go to Zero Hedge and just type in thermonuclear pandemic viral outbreak, and it's going to pop up. If you can't wait for the highlights and resources tomorrow afternoon, we'll get all of those uploaded. But I'll just read you the front of this, because what he's done is he's pulled in all these stories that I'm getting, but it's just like a jumbled mess on like 40 different types of communications platforms that I use. And so as I was going through the list that he has here, I'm thinking, oh, I remember somebody sent me that. Ooh, somebody sent me this. Well, he's got it all together in one place. And he says, as we've stepped up our coverage of the NCOV coronavirus outbreak over the past week, some on Twitter have published what we feel are exaggerated criticisms, accusing us of fear-mongering. While we understand that the information we've shared can be distressing, we'd like to take a moment to remind readers that all of the information and research that we have cited is legitimate, having originally been conducted by credible epidemiologists like the UK's Jonathan Reed. The fact is, the Chinese government hasn't been nearly as transparent as it promised. Okay, when a communist promises you something, especially to be transparent, you don't believe them. You never trust communists, ever. Mom always said, you don't trust communists. She didn't always say that. But you don't trust communists, ever. And so, you can't trust the original. Because the official report now is that, no, let me back up before I get to the official report. We know that there are at least one, maybe two, and possibly two. It seems very credible now. These bio labs that are studying the worst germs on Earth that can kill millions and millions and millions of people, billions. The lab is right there in this little town where this outbreak started. And so they're saying, well, this probably came from bats and then snakes, because snakes, you know, will eat bats. And so the snakes got it. And then they got these snakes and they're selling them for meat at the meat market. And that's how humans got it. Right. A virus that has a patent. Now, how does some naturally occurring This bat gets some new virus that's never existed in the history of Earth. And now this bat gave it to a snake, and the snake gave it to the people who bought it for meat at the meat market. Well, I'm not buying any of that. Why? Because, well, it's the official narrative from the Chinese government, communist Chinese government. So I'm going to go down through some of this And some of the tweets that this Dr. Eric Fiegel-Ding has put out, is one of the doctors. He says, "I'll be honest, as an epidemiologist, I'm really deeply worried about this new coronavirus outbreak. One, the virus has an upward infection trajectory curve much steeper than SARS. And two, it can be transmitted person to person before symptoms appear. So it's silently contagious." On Friday, the doctor, a well-respected epidemiologist who has worked as an advisor to the World Health Organization, tried his hand at a few projections based on an infection rate much higher than the RO, which is your R-naught, what they call a R-naught. It's the rating for how quickly it spreads. So an R-naught of 1.4 to 2.5 recently estimated by WHO, which is the World Health Organization. As we explained, when determining the infectious potential of a virus, arguably the most important variable is the RO, or the R-naught, like the letter R hyphen N-A-U-G-T. We'll just call it RO. This represents the average number of secondary cases resulting from every new infection in an entirely susceptible population. So let's say you're in a bus stop, and there's 200 people at this bus station or the airport, and one person is infected. Okay, a R0 infection rate of 1.4 to 2.5 means that for every one person walking into that crowd, 1.4 to 2.5 people will also get it from that person. And then each of those people will go and give it to either 1.4 to 2.5 each. Okay. So now they are freaking out because these numbers are a 3.8. And they're saying this is huge. This is massive. So let me take you to his statement here. Last night, we published the findings of a team of UK epidemiological researchers led by Jonathan Reed. Reed published a paper with four colleagues that estimates transmission parameters for the Wuhan coronavirus and calculates that the true RO of the 2019 nCoV, that's the name of this virus, is between 3.6 to 4.0, or roughly the same as SARS, and reaches a conclusion about the spread of the coronavirus epidemic that is frankly terrifying. With an R-naught of 3.8, the virus could eventually cause hundreds of thousands of deaths in China alone. Now, the measles rated an RO, or an R-naught, of 12 to 18. Pertussis, whooping cough, is 12 to 18. Chickenpox is a 10 to 12. Highly, highly contagious. One person is likely to give it to 10 to 12 other people, who each will also in turn give it to 10 to 12 people. That's massive. We're talking chicken pox, pertussis, right? Whooping cough. Well, measles is a 12 to 18. Now, we're up there. If it's true that we're at a, a 13, 14, that's massive. So this is what this epidemiologist texts. He says, "Holy Mother of God, the new coronavirus is a 3.8. Now, that's before the new numbers, right? He's freaking out. How bad is that reproductive RO value? It is thermonuclear pandemic level bad. Now, personally, I think here we have an epidemiologist that is actually, I think, overreacting. But, hey, don't throw stuff at me, all right? It is thermonuclear pandemic level bad. Never seen an actual virility coefficient outside of Twitter in my entire career. I'm not exaggerating," he writes. So, that might be true. Maybe he has never seen that in his career, but we do have a historical precedence for it. And look, this does not appear to be a high fatality mortality rate. Look, we lose, how many is it? 80,000 people a year to flu? you know, elderly people whose systems are compromised. But and I'm not trying to play this down. This is serious, and this is a big one. This isn't the big one. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So that was Zero Hedge has just got a ton of stuff here. That's a lot of technical information that's really kind of dry to put out in a podcast. But he writes this. One of the doctors, the epidemiologist, writes, "Some folks think I'm trying to incite fear. I'm not trying. I'm a scientist. This coronavirus is serious. Over 50 million people are quarantined, and that's a big deal. Plus, case counts will go up much more. He predicts that the World Health Organization will declare an emergency. Let's hope for the best, prepare for the worst." And I agree with that. Let's hope for the best, prepare for the worst. But what really irks me about this is the cynical behind-the-scenes information about this, that they are smacking down as fast as this information is coming up. And when I say they, I'm talking about the machine, the system, the Soros-funded truth-checking websites and things like this. And InfoWars did a cover, an article, several outlets now, on this article. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and others predicted up to a 65 million deaths from a coronavirus in a simulation that was ran 3 months ago. Did you get that? 3 months ago, before any of this ever happened, before anybody ever heard of this, they ran a simulation that in their simulation, if this were released, that their findings predicted up to a 65 million deaths from the coronavirus. Now, how could this be, this mysterious virus that just must have come from a bat who gave it to a snake, who gave it to some person who was at a meat market in China and got a snake with this virus? And it just so happens that this think tank group, which it also includes the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. By the way, Bill Gates is a major population, global depopulation proponent of reducing the world's population. In fact, their foundation and this think tank, they're perfect number for indefinite sustainability on Earth. With all the resources that we have, we could indefinitely sustain 500 million people. And there's almost 9 billion people on Earth, but they think the ideal number is 500 million, which includes them, but doesn't include you and me. Now, in this article, 3 months ago, they run this test, according to this article. So there's also another story that I have here where the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation funded, gave grant money to the company which owns the patent to the virus, the coronavirus. But it's a different coronavirus. Now, when I said they're trying to smack this stuff down as fast as they can, check this out. If you want to know if something's true, you go to Snopes, right? You go to PolitiFact. You go to FactFinder, which are, of course, you know, funded by George Soros and the like. So here's their headline. Fact-checking hoaxes and conspiracies about coronavirus. Ah, okay, so it's a conspiracy. They're basically saying, ultimately, we find that this is false. This is their is false. What's false? Well, they go down this list. There's a coronavirus patent. This claim is inaccurate. Oh, okay. Well, let's just move on then. It's just conspiracy theory hoax being passed around by people that are just trying to scare people, and they're conspiracy theorists. Because according to these guys, it's PolitiFact running things to ground to find out what's factual and what's not. And they're saying this claim is inaccurate that there is a coronavirus patent. Well, let's read on. We've rated a similar statement, pants on fire. That's how they rated this statement. Here's their explanation. Several Facebook posts, tweets, articles, and YouTube videos allege that a vaccine developed for the coronavirus just as it started to spread earlier this month. Those claims were widely shared in anti-vaccine groups, which they've demonized, right? Anti-vaccine groups are just, they're the worst vile kind of people, right? According to the globalists. Where some users said the disease could be a government plot to vaccinate more people. Okay, here comes the conspiracy theory. So, the coronavirus patent is owned by the Purebright Institute, a Republican running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. Well, what do they have to say about that? Well, apparently, this Republican, Ayadurai has been associated with a variety of conspiracy theorists and right-wing provocateurs. And I'm sure probably according to Southern Poverty Law Center, wherever they're using their source. So what they're doing is they're demonizing the source. They didn't deny that what Ayadurai said was false. What they did was said, well, this person associates with a variety of conspiracy theorists and right-wing provocateurs, like we all do, according to the SPLC. So as evidence, the posts link to pages for a patent on Google and Justia. But the patent is related to the coronavirus that causes SARS, which is different from the Wuhan strain of the illness. So they admit, these fact-check groups admit that there is a coronavirus that has a patent. But they're saying this latest release of this strain, the patent that is owned for that disease is patented, is a totally different coronavirus than the one that's out there now. So the claims that there's a patent on the current virus is false, because the patent belongs to a different coronavirus, which causes SARS. SARS-CoV is the beta coronavirus that causes severe acute respiratory syndrome. There are no vaccines available for any coronaviruses, let alone the Wuhan one, Amesh Adalija, a senior scholar at Johns Hopkins University's health center, told PolitiFact. So, this is good. FEMA proposes martial law. I haven't heard that one. Okay, here we go. Gates Foundation predicts virus, funded group who owns virus patent. Well, PolitiFact says several Facebook posts, blogs, and YouTube videos claim that Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation predicted and are somehow profiting from the coronavirus outbreak. The allegations were circulated widely in QAnon and other conspiracy Facebook groups and pages, as well as on 4chan, a fringe. So this is what they're doing, is they're demonizing the source of this information, the people that are spreading this information. 4chan, a fringe internet forum where several high-profile conspiracies were created. Okay, so that means this claim must be false, right? Because it's coming from somebody who posts on this 4chan where conspiracies have been created in the past. But this claim takes unrelated events and financial connections out of context and morphs them into an inaccurate narrative about coronavirus. As evidence, those posts point to financial ties between the Gates Foundation and the United Kingdom-based Purebright Institute, as well as an event held October 18th, 2019. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and the World Economic Forum co-hosted an event in New York City where policymakers, business leaders, and health officials worked together on a simulated coronavirus outbreak, reads this article published by a website called IntelliHub. PolitiFact has debunked some of its content before, some of its contact before. So that means they must, anything they put out must not be true, because PolitiFact has debunked some of their information before. And really, do they debunk it? What they, how they claim that they debunked something is by regurgitating some SPLC hit piece on something or someone and using that as their evidence to cite, to show that this person is a racist, a conspiracy theorist, a extremist, a whatever. This is just a joke. That article was, I continue on. That article was republished from InfoWars, a conspiracy website run by Alex Jones. The outlet has spread misinformation about victims of the Sandy Hook shooting and the sexual orientation of frogs, for example. So you see that they're continuing to try to discredit the people that are putting this information out. So here they admit the October 28 outbreak simulation did happen. This is PolitiFact. First, they are debunking it. They're in their minds. They're claiming that they're debunking it because the conspiracy theorists are claiming that there was a simulated exercise based on a coronavirus outbreak. And they say, oh, this is these people that are saying this are conspiracy theorists. But further on, PolitiFact itself says the October 18 outbreak simulation did happen. And tax records show that the Gates Foundation has supported the Purebright Institute in the past. The Purebright Institute owns a patent for SARS, a coronavirus that is different from the Wuhan strain. But those disparate facts don't prove that the Gates Foundation has somehow profited from the most recent outbreak of the coronavirus. So that's their end conclusion. There's no proof that they've profited from this latest outbreak. So it discredits. They're trying to convince you that the other information is discredited because there's no proof showing that the Gates have benefited financially from this. But in their same article, they acknowledge, after disparaging people who claim that there was this coronavirus outbreak simulation showing X number of fatalities and deaths, then they admit that this really did happen. PolitiFact is acknowledging this. October 18 outbreak simulation did happen, and tax records show that the Gates Foundation has supported the Purebright Institute in the past. Who's Purebright? They're the ones who owned the patent for the SARS coronavirus. Now we have a coronavirus that's on the loose, and they're blaming it on snakes. I'm sorry. There's a saying. In the spook world, there's no such thing as coincidence. So, coronavirus. Oh, here's their other myth that they're trying to bust. Coronavirus was created in a lab as a bioweapon for population control. These claims are baseless, and they conflate with the Wuhan coronavirus with other strains of the illness. Our friends at factcheck.org and Health Feedback debunked similar conspiracy theories. But we already know the coronavirus is an engineered virus with a patent that's owned by a company. The SARS version of coronavirus has a patent owned by a British company that the Bill Gates Foundation has donated money to. And the same group of people who ran a simulation back in October that did indeed take place. And now all of a sudden we have a coronavirus outbreak. Oh, but that's a different strain. Totally. These claims are baseless, you conspiracy theorists. Anyway, I've got a lot more that I could cover. I've got tons. I just don't have tons of time to cover it. But I'm going to put the links in here to these articles so you guys can go and read them for yourself and brush up and spread the word. It's pretty interesting stuff. Anyway, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this letter and respond to this letter from a listener wanting to take the gap and move into the American Redoubt. And his sights are set on Montana. not a bad choice. Montana is an amazing state, but there's things you might want to know before you make your final decision. All right, this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back with segment 4 to wrap things up right after this.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Welcome back to segment 4. A little bit of technical difficulties here tonight. Sorry about that, folks, and thanks for the instant feedback and helping me troubleshoot that. Very interesting, very frustrating, but so far so good. Again, I had to switch Ethernet ports. That was kind of strange. I don't know if maybe one just burned out. I don't know. But anyway, we're streaming now. Hey, the segment 4 is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com. For your custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers, they're made right here in the American Redoubt, in the land of the free, the home of the Patriots. And a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Now, real quickly, I want to share a listener letter with you. And I want to address a couple things in here. And it says, John Jacob, I hope you're doing well. It's been a while since I reached out to you. And he and his wife did the Radio Free, the Southern Redoubt website. And trying to get folks to gather to, you know, the Patriot strongholds in Georgia along the Appalachian Redoubt. Basically, our little family has grown quite a bit in the past few years. We now have 4 children. That's all. Oh, congratulations to you, by the way. That's awesome. But he said, you know, we've got a 5-acre homestead in North Georgia. We've resolved to move. So they're looking at either deeper into the Appalachians, which is that's conservative, rural. It's like the American Redoubt, not quite as organized, but definitely strong demographics there in the Appalachians because it's closer to family and home. But we've had a great interest in Montana lately, particularly the Hamilton / Missoula region. Our homeschool community has a branch in both towns, so it would be an easy transition for the kids. And we believe the people, region, and hunting laws would be agreeable. But we still haven't visited the region yet. We're thinking of flying out this summer to visit for a week or two, but I was curious if you could point us to any resources to do some more research. Particularly of concern is the growing season. What's it like raising animals? We currently have goats and chickens. Any laws restricting water rights or other points that we may need to know about that we might not be able to think about? We know that the winters can be harsh and y'all don't have hard Georgia red clay to deal with. Missoula is about the size of Gainesville, Georgia, which is 45 to 60 minutes away from us. We did look into Idaho, but the hunting laws were too restrictive for us. We eat 90% wild game, and in Idaho, we'd only be able to have 1 deer, 1 bear, and 1 elk. That elk is a lot of meat. And that's 1 per. So you and your wife could each get a deer tag and an elk tag and a bear tag, and you eat that in a year. That's a lot of meat. But anyway, they do eat a lot, and he goes into this. So, let me just scooch forward here to right here. Montana hunting laws, on the other hand, are much less restrictive, which helped lead us to look at the Bitterroot Valley. Any input from you or help, help in our thought process would really be helpful. This would be a huge change for us, and we do need to move. The question is if we stay in the South or go that direction. Thank you so much for your help and direction. Well, first of all, thanks for the question. More than happy to address it. Take it for what it's worth. But I definitely, one thing strongly implore you, and I know you will, because I know you as a couple that I have known, you know, in the past, that you're going to do this prayerfully. You've got to make sure that this is where the Lord wants you to go, wherever you go. Definitely consult him. I would say a couple things based on your response or on your letter. Here's my response. If you're looking deeper into the Appalachians, you're going to definitely feel much more closer to your roots, your home. You'd mentioned you've got family and home there, and home is that's where your heart's at. And if you move to the American Redoubt, you're going to be moving to the other side of the world from everything you know and love, and it's your sense of security emotionally. It will be difficult because you're going to have grandparents, uncles, and aunts. You have a relationship that's in your, you know, with your family, very tight. You're not escaping Southern California or the greater Denver area or Illinois or Seattle. You already live in a rural conservative area, and you might feel you need to go deeper into that. But if you move completely to the American Redoubt, away from the Appalachian Redoubt, remember, you're already in a redoubt or close to it where you already are. So that would definitely take a toll on your family at some point. Now, the adventure of it all might be all you need. There are plenty of people moved to the West, pioneers, and they were homesick, but they forged new lives. And people do move from the South and from the East to the American Redoubt. And after a transition period, after an adjustment period mentally and logistically, you adapt to it, and then you enjoy your embrace your new life. That might be the case for you, but just know that I've seen many people move to the American Redoubt. They love the idea of it, but they become so homesick. They're really pretty miserable, and they feel like they're really disconnected from people. We've had a great interest in Montana lately, particularly the Hamilton-Missoula region. Okay, now, Montana is a strange state. It is mostly rural and mostly conservative, but it has got a huge blue presence. It has a blue Democrat governor, believe it or not, and a lot of rhinos in the, even though it's mostly red, a lot of rhinos there that do things that will just confound you. So a lot of that is influence from California. A lot of big money moving up, buying big ranches south of Missoula in that Bitterroot area. Where you're talking about Hamilton. There's some great rural areas there, and you might just do just fine. But Missoula in particular has kind of created a reputation. They have a college there, so that should be one red flag. But they're really big into the human rights Gestapo, advancing that. So there's a lot of LGBT influence, like in the city council, in the local papers. And there's a large and growing and very vocal Muslim population or demographic there as well. And lots of liberal social justice warriors that want to rise up and defend them and basically try to shut down anybody that wants to speak out against the LGBTQ Gestapo or the Islamification of a community. People that want to speak out against that, they really come against them hard. So you would be up against that in the Missoula, in the greater Missoula area. The further south you get, down toward Hamilton and those areas, you're starting to see a lot of big money from California move in there, which is driving some of the prices up. But they keep to themselves. The people that are patriots and libertarians, they keep to themselves, and everybody's, you know, everything's fine. Everybody gets along. I would say, though, and it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful area. And look, when I say that, though, I don't want to necessarily discourage you, although you will find the politics of Missoula frustrating, but it's no different than Coeur d'Alene, which is the county seat in Kootenai County. Kootenai County is the number one destination, and it is very red, very conservative, strong patriot community. Lots of guns, lots of 3%er stickers, and patriot, don't tread on me. I mean, it's hardcore conservative patriot territory. But Coeur d'Alene, is they've got the LGBTQ militant Gestapo there, and pushing for diversity and adopting things that are counter to our Constitution and our traditional Christian heritage. So people get the impression that, oh, move to North Idaho, it's a liberal bastion. No, it's not. It's a small group of loudmouths who have taken over the city council and the local newspaper that give the impression that it is a liberal bastion. So that's a lot of what you'll also see in Missoula. There's a community college in Coeur d'Alene. There's a community college in Missoula. Or maybe it's, I can't remember which college it is in Missoula. But you'll find those things to be maybe a little frustrating for you. Look to the north too. I would say the top destination location for the American redoubters would be for Montana would be the Kalispell area. That is a very popular area. Lots of retired law enforcement, retired various different agencies, and special operations guys retiring there, and just a large patriot community there as well. So that might be another alternative. How are the winters? They're rough. They're cold. Everybody that has, we have animals here, just like horses, cattle, chickens, pigs. You just have to do some things a little bit different. That might be a good thing to address in a segment. You know, taking care of animals in the American Redoubt. You've got to break water in water troughs because it freezes. You got to put heat lamps out there for your chickens. Well, you don't have to, but it helps them. And, you know, so there are definitely some things that you need to adjust to. You're not going to have the same growing season that you have in Georgia, for sure. But that's why they make greenhouses. And people do their starters inside. And then after Mother's Day, when, you know, it's generally the safe time to put your garden out, then people transfer from their garage out to the garden, or from their greenhouse out to the garden. And you'll have to get used to, you know, the wood-burning stoves and greenhouses and shorter crops. And you have to plan differently. It's just a different lifestyle. But people have all those animals and gardens up here, and they thrive. So it would just be an adjustment. You asked about water rights. There are definitely some water issues. The water fights are going on all over the country, but really in the West, you're seeing it. It's kind of like the canary in the coal mine. So I would recommend going and checking out Western MT Water Rights. They've got a website, Western MT, as in Montana, waterrights.wordpress.com, and we'll put a link out there. But if you just put Western Montana Water Rights, you'll see their website there. But another guy that I know, a friend of mine, Jim White, he has Northwest Liberty News. He has been doing a lot of coverage on the water rights fight and land rights battles that are taking place across the West right now. And he is the most up on what is happening in Montana with the fight over water rights there. And it is an ongoing battle. It's not going to go away, and it's going to be global, but we're really feeling it in the West right now. So Jim is the owner and editor over at Northwest Liberty News. So you can check that out, northwestlibertynews.com. And he's got a lot of articles and podcasts that he's done investigating the water rights issues there. So, geez, I hope I was able to answer your questions and point you to some resources that would help you. You're right. The fish and game regulations are much easier in Montana to be able to harvest the amount of wild game that you want to. So, yeah, let's hope that helps. And any other questions, fire them off. And we need to do some American Redoubt segments covering some of these topics. So thank you for the question. All right, guys, that's a wrap. We're going to go ahead and get this finished up. And I've got a lot of work to do this week. We're putting the finishing touches on our SOI, the Signals Operating Instructions. And I have to conference call tomorrow with some folks about that and several other things. So we've got a lot of comms training going on. It's really cool. Okay, you guys have a blessed week. Like I said, this is episode 20-02, the second podcast of 2020. And sorry about the glitch with the stream. I think, well, for now it's working, and hopefully we got it fixed. So hopefully that'll be permanent. All right, God bless, guys. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.